One of the ways in which mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice has helped me in terms of having less unnecessary suffering has been in the area of what I'd refer to as my thoughts about my connections with other people, or in some cases, the lack thereof. In other words, what I'm speaking about here is all of my thoughts and notions and beliefs about whether I'm really connected with someone or not. If I thought that I really was connected with them at some point, then sometimes there has been worries and fears around the speculations of whether I really still am connected with someone. A lot of thoughts around, are they acting differently? Does something seem different? Do things seem strange or weird or whatever the case may be? And what is so amazing to me is that there can be so much energy that I put into thinking about the connections with other people. And then this also feeds into, and I don't know if everyone has or does struggle with this, but I found that there sometimes is a relationship between getting so wrapped up in my thoughts about connections with other people and whether I really am or not and what that's all about and what it means, because I think it is very normal and human. We're wired this way in terms of there is a constant, sometimes kind of this natural tendency to be, you know, checking on things, to monitor our situation, so to speak. A lot of this, I think, at least in my experience, certainly has happened unconsciously. But at the same time, what I found is that mindfulness practice really brings those things that are in the background. All of this, at least in my case, I'm not going to say this about anybody else, but I know for me, a lot of my unnecessary thoughts, and I say that they're unnecessary because really they don't necessarily solve anything. They don't make me feel, they don't really help me feel more well, psychically or physically or emotionally. They don't allow me to really be in the here and now where it's all really happening. This is all just stuff that I get really caught up in my own mind. And it really doesn't lead me to being here where I've found. In some cases, it's been a surprise that I have found that connections with other people, I'm beginning, and I don't want to get too metaphysical or too out there, but this is something that I feel really compelled to share, is that all of my thoughts about my connections with other people and my quote-unquote business with other people, and I'm not speaking about actual commerce, but I am speaking about just my ongoing interactions with people, or if I do get involved in a friendship of some sort, or some sort of, and I guess it could be something related to work or to business, but this is really in all aspects of life. I can get so wrapped up in my thoughts about what that friendship means or this connection means that I'm not really experiencing this at all. There are so many things that are happening energetically in between human beings. There are so many things that happen when people are just together without trying to think about what it means, without having any sort of what I've sometimes heard referred to before as models in our heads. In other words, I can get so fixated and wrapped up in a model in my head about what my connection with someone is about and what it means that at some point I'm living in sort of a synthetic reality or some sort of artificial reality. I'm actually involved in a connection with someone that isn't even really, it has nothing to do with what's really happening in the here and now. And in some ways, that's not that extraordinary. It doesn't mean necessarily that because it's a model in my head that it is something that, defies what we know as reality. There doesn't have to be anything spectacularly bizarre about the situation or what I'm envisioning. It's just that even if it's just a shade different than what is actually going on in terms of my connection with someone else, even if it's just very, very different in a subtle way, then I'm still really off the mark to a certain degree. I'm not really connected with the person that's in front of me. I am, you know, let's say, you know, and then I'm just picking a number. Let's say I'm 90% really connected to the reality of that. But then there's 10% of that. And I'm just picking a number randomly here, just for the sake of this illustration, that I am so busy interacting with really a model in my head and not with that other person. I may really be here and really able to sense what they're about or what they're communicating to me, you know, a part of it, but then there is a part of it that I think maybe there's a certain way about them or a certain way that I think they feel about something or about me that I'm really not really experiencing, you know, where they really are. And what I found is that sometimes whether I'm operating completely in a model in my head or just, let's say, 10% of what's really going on, the result is still the same, and that is that I am in my head. I am interacting with a construct of my own thoughts and not with the human being that is in front of me or that I'm communicating with in a certain way. And for me, that has really been incredibly freeing and really eye-opening and really has been at the core of what mindfulness practice has been about. I was thinking about that earlier today, and just more reflecting than thinking, and realizing that so many of the struggles that I've created for myself, so many of the areas in which I have suffered unnecessarily have been around the way that I process, the way that I think about, the way that I react to other people. And this doesn't even have to be people that I'm, you know, connected with on an ongoing basis. This can just be the random people that I encounter in my life journey doing whatever it is that I'm doing. And for a lot of years, I found that because my interactions with other people were so uncomfortable for me, and I do want to say this, that it had nothing or very little to do with the other person, but it had everything to do with me. And I, without realizing that, and it's not that I was actively blaming other people, or that I was really, really negative about other people. I just found, you know, before I was practicing mindfulness, I just found that interacting with people, even people that were close to me, was sometimes taxing. Sometimes it was unbelievably exhausting. I found that there was very little joy in it. I didn't really see the point in it. It just all felt like a lot of exhausting work that really wasn't incredibly rewarding. And while I can't go back and change that, I certainly have apologized over the years to many people in my life who I withdrew from, despite them trying to tell me that they valued me and really wanted to have me in their life in some way. I just couldn't see it. And the reason why I just couldn't see it is because I wasn't capable, not that I was inadequate or that there was anything wrong. It's just that I was really cheating myself out of an opportunity to be connected with people because I was too busy buying the beliefs in my head. I was too busy believing everything that I was thinking about what I was feeling in regards to my connections with other people. And I want to be incredibly vulnerable here and say that you know, first of all, you know, before I even say what I was getting ready to say, I do want to mention that, you know, this is where mindfulness practice, really where the rubber meets the road. In other words, I'm finding that, and this is something that I do even now, I mean, even after practicing for 30 years, it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't matter how long you've been practicing, because I have no beliefs around the possibility that at some point I'm going to become enlightened and that I'm not going to need to practice anymore. That doesn't even register. I mean, I think initially there was some of that. There definitely was this idea that, you know, when I get enlightened someday, it'll all be so much easier. But I have since found out, and I don't think that will surprise a lot of people, but I feel like it's at least, I feel moved and compelled to say it out loud. Because of what I wanted to really share is that these relationships, these connections with other people, in many cases, my withdrawal from them was my choice. And what I found is that what came along with that was the persistent thought and the belief in what I was thinking around, you know, never being able to really, quote unquote, find my people. I never, you know, I always envied other people who seemed to have this circle of friends who really got them, who really, you know, understood them and who really supported them. And what I found really over the years is that as I've opened up and have been able to be more vulnerable, and this is all thanks to the practice. I mean, thanks to mindfulness practice in allowing me to continue to practice being here, to practice really paying attention to my mind, I've been able to see that it is in fact possible to find like-minded people. And I've also heard the term here recently, which I really love, like-hearted people. And I think that in a lot of cases, that's really what the idea has been for me, that, you know, we do communicate using the mind to a certain degree. And I don't want to get overly idealistic and think that we're someday going to live in a world where we will no longer do that, where we will communicate, you know, in other planes of consciousness, and it will be more heart-based. It sounds wonderful, and I love that. I'm certainly opening myself up to doing as much of that as I possibly can, but any belief I have about the future is just a belief or a thought or a notion about what I think the future holds. The only thing I know for sure that the future holds, at least for me, is that it will hopefully, if I continue the practice and I continue to notice and be aware of my thoughts, that I won't get so carried away with this persistent thought that I've walked around with for many, many years of the, you know, and this is kind of the way that I've said it, and I've heard other people say this as well. I'm trying to find my tribe. I'm trying to find my people. It's this belief that somehow there are these people out there that really, really get me, that really resonate with where I'm, you know, with where I'm at energetically and where I'm at in terms of spirit and where I'm at in terms of interests, and that somehow they're out there and I'm going to find them. I'm not here to say that this is not possible. I'm certainly not here to doubt this in any way. And I'm open to it. It's just that what I'm finding is that, and I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just that what I'm finding is more important for me, what's more healing for me, is to just live every day, to wake up and to try to be as present as I possibly can when I'm interacting with people. I don't want to be necessarily completely wrapped up in this overarching search for my people, because I really have no idea what that even means. I have no idea, you know, who would those people even be? What would they seem like? And really, this is just a matter of not overthinking or overanalyzing. This is more what's referred to as self-inquiry. In other words, I'm really asking these questions to kind of unpack all of these notions that I've been carrying around so that I can finally start to see what I believe is the absolute truth and not the relative truth that I've been trying to, you know, that relative truth is a construct in my mind. It's a model in my head. It's a belief that I've been holding on to. And so what I'm finding is that when I encounter people and I find that I'm resonating with them at a certain degree, I don't have to immediately go into this mode where I'm, you know, and there again, it's a habit of thought. If I meet someone that really resonate with and they resonate with me in some way, I found that it's a habit of thought. My mind starts thinking about, well, this person seems to be someone that I seem to be getting along with. This seems to be someone who has similar interests. And then all of a sudden, it's just these thoughts start coming online. And before long, I'm so busy, really caught up in those thoughts and in reacting however I am because I believe what I'm thinking about what I'm feeling, that I begin to act almost, it's almost like being like a robot or an automaton. In other words, I'm not just being who I genuinely am in a given moment. I'm so busy, it's like some sort of something has been triggered. And I don't know if that was an accident that I said that word, because I think a lot of times we think about, you know, being triggered as usually being emotionally speaking in terms of healing and emotions a negative thing. But I think also what I've found is that sometimes being triggered in a positive way, especially if it's centered around or something is triggered that it's a habit of thought, I can go the other direction as well. I can be so wrapped up in having good emotions and thoughts that want to keep those good emotions flowing that I'm just completely carried away with it. And I'm finding that it has taken years and years, and I'm still nowhere near the end of this process, in just encountering people and being with them, trying to be as present as I can possibly be. And that's really where mindfulness practice, it continues to benefit me and those that practice it in the way of just being able to be here. And if I'm paying attention to my own thoughts, then I generally have to be aware. And I, in order to really see and perceive and quote unquote feel those thoughts and to be able to see the contents of those thoughts, I have to be here and be paying attention. It gets a little easier to do it the more I've practiced doing it, because there is the need to carve out just a little bit of headspace in order to kind of get behind those thoughts, get behind the mind, and really witness what's going on. And what I've found is that I've had these situations happen here just even recently, even as recent as this week. I have met people whom I did not know before, and noticed that there was beginning to be, in some cases, there would be certain thoughts around feeling connected with them in some way. And I personally believe this is just one person's, and I don't even want to say believe, but in my experiences, I've never found that it's hurt me in any way to feel connected with people. What I've found, what really causes me problems and really gets me off track, is when I have thoughts about those connections with other people. It's all the stuff of the mind. It's all of my notions about what I think this might mean, what I think this might lead to, any sort of triggering of a desire to have some sort of agenda to try to kind of keep the good times rolling, so to speak. And this could be something as simple as just, liking being around someone and finding what they have to say interesting and feeling like, I'm having a really good conversation with someone. And that is all fine and good, all well and good. But what I find is that if I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be completely vulnerable here, is that as a human being who is wired in the way that we are, it's not always as simple as that. They're usually in terms of being human. And I know that there's no way for me to brute force and stop these things from coming up. And sometimes it's just as simple as really enjoying someone's company and hoping that there's an opportunity to connect with them again. But I find that even that can be taken to an extreme. And before I know it, I'm not really here with them. Because the reality of the situation may be that they may not, for whatever reason, have an interest in doing that. And it may not be because I am a horrible person or that I made them uncomfortable. And that's usually the way I have interpreted things like that. And when I say the word interpreted, that's really what I'm saying, is that I have overthought situations. I've speculated about what I think people are thinking about me, to the point that, it may just be that they're busy. It just may be that they're not interested, and it has nothing to do with there being anything wrong with me. And even if it was something that made them uncomfortable, I know that I really can't do anything about that as long as I have just allowed myself to be who I am in the moment. I mean, I'm human. Sometimes I'm going to respond to something in a certain way. It may be very subtle. Sometimes people will pick up on things that are energetic that we really can't. Sometimes we don't even know it's happening. And sometimes it's something that's going on in our unconscious mind or our subconscious mind. And people intuitively pick up on those things. It may not be anything overt that I'm doing or saying. But at the end of the day, I'm becoming more comfortable with the fact that interpersonal communications and my connections with other human beings are much more mysterious than I sometimes thought that they were. I don't think it's as simple as just trying to go around, like when I was a 4-year-old child, as my mother and grandmother used to always describe me, is I was always walking around with my arms open asking people, hey, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? I mean, I've always been told that I tend to be the type of person that kind of has that big heart that is just going around looking for his people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I found is that I think it's I've made it much harder than it needs to be. And the way that I've made it much harder, and the way that I generally find when I'm speaking to people about this and I have conversations about this subject, is that the way that I make it harder than it needs to be in a lot of cases, and in an overwhelming majority of those cases, it's the thoughts that I have. And it's the thoughts that I'm believing about what I'm feeling. It's whatever I'm thinking about whatever I'm feeling. It's my beliefs about myself, who I think I am, who I think they are, what I think they're thinking about me. And, you know, again, without getting too overly metaphysical, there is this knowing, this deep inner knowing that, you know, there is this beautiful part of us. And I realize everyone sees this differently. There is a part of us that I feel like is something that's beyond being able to describe it. There is a presence that we all have access to if we choose to tap into that. And it's, I think in some ways it is something, you know, I'm finding that I can't necessarily conjure up a personality and be what I think other people want me to be. And I think I know I spent a lot of years doing that. And I found that I never really knew. It's almost like, in a way, I never knew if I was quote unquote doing it right. I was always striving to perfect the whatever that persona was that I thought people really expected and wanted from me. And what I find is, even after kind of, you know, piercing the veil and getting behind the curtain and seeing that this doesn't really help at all, and that it's really all just a bunch of thoughts in my head, and that when I've, as a result of practicing, being able to see that and see it happen in real time, I'm still open to the fact that communications and connections with other people has a mysterious aspect to it, and not in a bad way. It does, you know, the mysteriousness of it, I used to see that as a negative, and now I'm really much more open to it and realizing that, you know, there's a lot of this that is really not my business. I can't really control or conjure up something and I can't think up any solutions for trying to be exactly the way I think, you know, people want me to be, so that they'll want to be connected with me. And I found that the real work, the real reward, so to speak, has been in basically turning it around, looking at the person in the mirror and doing the work, being willing to do the work and to be open to that, and bringing that person to the table to interact with other people. And I think what I found is, when that has happened, when I've been willing to let myself do that and get out of my own way, the results have been much, much better. And not that this is about results, because it's really not about results. What I found is, it's really about, the work really is trying to genuinely be who I am and trust that whoever I'm supposed to be connected to, I will be connected to. And if I'm not connected to people, first of all, if I don't have thoughts about who I should be connected with, that immediately takes a burden off of my shoulders. And it has been incredibly freeing. It's not been easy to do, and I certainly don't want to lead anyone on that it is. But what I found is that I can live in the mystery. I can live in the not knowing, you know, really where those connections will be, or if there will be any at all. And if there aren't any, and I've had times in my life when I really have not had that many connections with people. It's not to say that I'm not always generally around people, but what I found is that I can burden myself with all kinds of thoughts. I kind of caught myself there, you know, thoughts of loneliness and thoughts of being alienated from other people. I can be a lot more connected than I realize to all of this, to all people, if I can just not believe everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. And if I can just really be here, there's so much more going on to heal, and I can heal from this. I can actually, that presence, just being here, allows me to heal all these unnecessary burdens that I've placed on myself, which ultimately have their root in all of the thoughts that I've been carrying around in my head. and all the beliefs that I've been holding on to. And the practice, I can truly say, in this area as well, that mindfulness practice has made a huge difference in my quality of life. And it's really lessened the burden. It's made it easier to be a human being when I'm not always thinking about the results of what's going to happen based on how I am. I can just be who I am and just pay attention and just be aware. And that really is enough.